I started last week with Mark chapter 7, and we told the story of a woman. I want to read that same story this week from Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We'll begin with verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Anybody know where Tyre and Sidon are? Where did Jesus go? He went to Tyre and Sidon. Did he leave Israel? Not exactly. It's kind of like when they go across the Jordan going east, they would be out of maybe what some people considered Canaan's land, but it isn't. It was up in the northern part, what would presently be modern-day Lebanon. In fact, maybe it was even called Lebanon back then. We know about the cedars of Lebanon. But that's where he went. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan. How do you say that? Canaan. Well, that's the way we say it because we're Westerners, but it's really Canaan. A woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now I want to just stop for a second and talk about Canaan. What do we know about Canaan? What was that? Where did we first hear of it? It came out of Cain. What was Cain? First murderer in the Bible, wasn't he? First murderer in the Bible was Cain. What do we know about the nation that followed him? What did they become like? What did the Bible say about Cain? It said Cain will never settle down, right? He'll always be a vagabond in the earth. That's the way he'll live his life. What else? He was violent. There was violence around him. And the nation of Canaan was a violent nation. It was one of the most ferocious and licentious forms of heathenism that there was. Canaan. Now, you know, we read about God telling the children of Israel, I want you to go into this land where the Canaanite dwell. And I want you to take it over. And, you know, I was reading someplace the other day. I was looking up something, and I got into some theologian's discussion about was it fair for God to do what he did, you know? My, oh, my. My, oh, my. Isn't it interesting that they call that theology? Yeah. People discussing, you know, will not the Lord of all the earth do right? Isn't that the fact? He will, won't he? He'll do what's right. And I've got to tell you, you know, that we may look at it and think, oh, that was a terrible judgment and a terrible thing that happened to those people. And yet, in the latter days, in the end of days, when Yeshua comes back again, there will be judgment again for those who have refused his love. And it will be no different. In fact, it will be permanent. It'll be complete. And so we need to understand that we don't see things as God sees them. Just as, again, the prophecy spoke to us this morning. We look around and we see things in one way. We see things small and without significance, but God looks into the same area and sees potential. God looks into the same thing and sees greatness. Greatness. He looks at us and he sees a place of greatness, but it has to be believed for. You know, there's a lot of people that still have the attitude, if God's God and he says something, then all I have to do is just lay around and wait for it to fall on me like ripe cherries fall off a tree. Guess what? It don't work that way, Maynard. That's not the way we get the promises of God. The promises of God have to be received. They have to be partaken. And this woman who came to Yeshua was a woman who came out of a hopeless situation on the earth. Now think about it. She was one of that remnant of the group that the Israelites were supposed to have driven out. But she was still there. Maybe she had moved a little bit north, but she was still there, and they were still around. They worshipped Baal. They worshipped Dagon, the fish god. I'm just going to name three of them. They worshipped a whole bunch. They were polytheistic. They didn't know the Lord our God, the Lord is one. They didn't know Him. Although they grouped Him in and sometimes called His name too as one of their gods. You know, there's a lot of people do that. The polytheistic do that. And the Hindus even have gods that they have a whole bunch of flags named down. And some of them are for just in case there is a god to this, well, we've got a flag for Him too. That's what polytheism does for you. It's blind. But they worship Molech. You know who Molech was? The god of fire? His idol was a great big furnace. And his mouth was the opening to the furnace. And the Canaanites would sacrifice their children into this. This is what this woman who has come to Yeshua is. She is very distasteful to Hebrew society. Are you listening to me? And she comes to see Jesus. Mark said she had heard about Him. She had heard about Him. We don't know how she heard. You know, the Word of God goeth forth, and it accomplishes what the Father will have it accomplish. As the snow falls down and covers the earth, and the rain waters the earth, so shall My Word be. It goes forth, and somehow this little heathen lady had heard about Yeshua, this man of Galilee, this man who people brought their children to, and He picked them up and held them. And somehow she heard the story. Somebody may have told her that He said, "Come unto Me all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." She may have heard that. She may not have. But somehow she knew about Yeshua, and she knew enough to know that He was Ben David. Say Ben David. What's that mean? Son of David. The Son of David. Now the Son of David is more than just a term that describes His genealogy. Son of David was known to be what? Another name for Messiah. Son of David. Son of David. I believe she comes calling Him the right name. But He answered her, verse 23, but He answered her not a word. Oh boy. You talk about the way we are nowadays. You know, religious people nowadays would have gone away and spread bad tidings about Jesus all over Canaan. All over Israel. He answered her not a word. He just kept walking. You know, this must have been even tough for Him to do. To just ignore her for a second. But you know what He was doing? He was doing what His Father was doing. That's what Jesus said. I do nothing of Myself. What was His Father doing that for? Well, watch. Watch. He answered her not as word, and her disciples came and besought Him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us. Lord, get rid of this Canaanite woman." That's the way they were looking at her. Now you just ask yourself this question. Would you have prevailed? Would you have persisted? Would you have stayed in there if you'd been getting that kind of treatment? Being ignored on one side and outright disdained on the other? They were ready to say, Lord, just give us the word and we'll usher her out of here. You don't belong here with us. I mean, look at us. We're the children of Israel. This Canaanite woman. And it doesn't get better for a little bit. Send her away, she crieth after us, they say. And then in 24, Jesus answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We talked a little bit about this week, that Yeshua wasn't really of that mind, but there is a truth to it nevertheless. He really meant, come unto me all who labor and are heavy laden. He really meant that. But he also knew that the scripture said that the gospel would come where? To the Jew first. And after that to the Gentile. To the Jew first. And after that to the Gentile. That's the way the scripture said it. Not because the Jews are better than Gentiles, as the Jews thought they were. Not because of that at all, but because God has an order. And God had chosen the Jews for a particular place to plant His oracles, to plant His covenants, to plant those things in the earth, and to make those people a kingdom of priests so that everybody else could learn. To the Jew first. You can't give what you don't have, right? But that's what He said. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to the Jew first. And then in verse 25 it says, then came she and worshipped Him. Oh my, what faith! Do you see it in action? She's already showed faith with one thing, and that was Ben David. You're the son of David. But now she's coming to Jesus, Ben David, Messiah, and she's worshiping Him. We don't know in what way she worshiped Him, but apparently it had to do with bowing down somehow, possibly prostrating herself in front of Him. You know, I don't know. But He answered and said, I'm not to the sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she still came and worshiped Him and said, Lord, help me. Verse 26, but He answered and said, it's not meet, it's not appropriate to take the children's bread and cast it to a dog, or to cast it to dogs. I want to talk about two things here. Number one, children's bread. What's children's bread? Huh? It's healing. It's healing. It's covenant right. It's a covenant benefit. That's the children's bread. The covenant provision. You know, I think people have forgotten in the scripture that the children's bread, Christian people have forgotten that their bread is healing from the Lord. We have so many other ways of getting healing nowadays, don't we? No. Everybody say no. We don't. We have a lot of different things that we use to alleviate symptoms. What's alleviate mean? Ease. It eases symptoms. But listen, once you get a symptom alleviated, if you get healed, it came from God. I don't care if it's called white willow bark or aspirin. Just depends on how much of a naturalist you are. While we're talking about this, let me tell you something. A lady came to me one time, and she was a nutritionist. She had studied nutrition. She was deep into it. She understood it. She says, I believe I can help people with this. I said, you sure can, but I said, you must be very cautious, or you will make what you have to become like an idol in front of God. I use some natural means of things that, you know, that I take, some supplements and things like that. But in every case, it was not something I learned from the internet. It was something I was led to by God. by the Spirit of God. I wouldn't be taking the things I'm taking today if I really didn't feel that He had directed me to those things. That was the way it happened. Now, there's a lot of people that have drug a lot of their past into the church, and then they try to make the Word of God line up with it. And I want to tell you something. That's where it becomes... You know what that is? Come on, you all know what that is.
Steeple.
That's a steeple. Remember, this is a church, and this is a steeple. It becomes a steeple. I'm going to tell you something. There's no steeple on God's church. But these things are protrude. Man's substitutes. There's a lot of them. Man substitutes things. And what we have done to healing has clouded the fact that healing is the children's bread by covenant. And I'm telling you, I am dismayed. I am dismayed by all of the toleration of sickness that the body of Messiah allows. Well, it's just ordinary stuff. You know, there's just things going around and we've just got to put up with it. There's this and there's that. Somebody had it over here. Now somebody else has it. There's measles in Denver right now. Some guy came back from India with measles. And he was kind enough to go around to quite a few public medical places and spread it around. There's measles. So you know what people do? They get into what?
Fear.
Fear. And so people begin to do all kinds of things to protect themselves. People become reclusive sometimes to keep themselves from getting things, to keeping themselves from being exposed to things. And when sickness comes, instead of standing up against it and saying, no, I have a covenant that deals with this. This is my bread. This is my bread. Instead, they leave this wonderful manna lying on the ground till noon and it melts. I don't know where that came from, but it just reminded me about, you know, manna, if it was left during the day, it melted. But if they picked it up, it was substance. It was food.
Picking it up.
Say picking it up.
Picking it up.
That's the thing. This lady who was not of the covenants, this lady who Ephesians 2:10 gives us the description of all without Christ, but certainly it was her, that at that time she was without Christ, being an alien from the commonwealth of Israel. She wasn't Israeli, was she? No. She was a stranger from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now that's all of us really before Jesus, isn't it? That's all of us. But certainly you can see it with someone who is lost so deeply in paganism. That was the life and the place where she lived. In fact, Jesus made a mention of dogs. Well, that's bad. Now, nowadays, it's not so bad, because in our New Age period, dogs, actually, most New Agers think dogs are more important than people. Did you know that? Dogs are fine. I'm all for dogs. They're just great. I don't want one, but they're great for you. If you want a dog, you have a dog. But I want you to know, dogs have not always been looked upon in the same way. Dogs were necessary to keep around to clean up the garbage. That's why some people kept pigs around. And then somebody decided you're supposed to eat them. Careful, Pastor, you'll get to meddling, huh? No. At that time, a dog was a loathsome creature. Do you understand that? When he said it, it wasn't like, oh, you little poodle, come here, let me pet you. He wasn't talking like that. He was talking about dogs the way dogs have had historical meaning. Dogs were unclean. No Jew would ever pet his dog and then eat without washing his hand up to his elbows. That's a fact. Nowadays, dogs sit at the table with people. No, Jesus said, it's not good to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. This woman, an amazing woman. Boy, I'll tell you what, she has gone down in the annals of Bible history. Because this woman would not be denied. She knew something, somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit somehow had gotten something to this lady. Because when Jesus used that derisive term that was used not by him intentionally, but by him as a societal norm of the time. Dog. This woman said, true, Lord. Isn't that neat? She just answered him. And she said, truth, Lord, verse 27, truth. Yet dogs eat of the crumbs. Now let's just think of what she's saying. She said, but God also made provision for dogs, didn't he? God has made provision for dogs. Have you ever wondered about how in the world there can be so many of something? Have you ever paid attention up here to how birds make it in the wintertime? You think, you know, some people think, well, if I don't put a feeder out, they won't make. No, birds make it. It's an amazing thing. Little birds that spend the winter up here make it through the wintertime because God has made provision for birds. God made provision for dogs, and one of the provisions for dogs was that they eat the crumbs. Say crumbs. Crumbs of the children's bread. They eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. A crumb of bread. What do we know about a crumb of bread?
It still has nutrition in it.
It has nutrition. What else? Qualitatively, it's exactly the same as the loaf.
Yep.
Quantitatively, it's less. But remember, this is the same Jesus who said, if you had faith as a mustard seed. How much does it take of the children's bread? That's what the woman understood. Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing what she figured out. She said that it's truth, Lord. That your word is truth, in other words. She's acknowledging the truth of the word of God. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus said something that echoes through the eras of history. It's still echoing today. He said, woman, your faith is great. You know, he didn't say that to very many people. That's a pretty amazing statement. He said, your faith is great. Your faith is great, woman. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. In Matthew, Mark chapter 7, when we read it last week, he said it this way, for this saying, what you've just said, because you said this, go your way. Your daughter's healed. The demon's gone out of your daughter. Guess we need to say just a little bit about that. She said it was a demon that was oppressing, possessing, had taken over the daughter. Did you know that some sickness is demons? Did you realize that? This is one of the reasons why it's so heinous for us to just lay back when sickness comes and say, well, I guess this is just one of those things that happens in this world. We live in a fallen world, and therefore we just have to put up with it just like the unbelievers. No. Not only do you not have to put it up with it like the unbelievers, but you're here to show the unbelievers there's a better way. You know, before we're done with this series, I believe we're going to be so tough on sickness and disease. Amen. We're not going to stand for it. We're going to go to the pure Word of God to get our answer. Amen. And anything else that we do, we won't do it unless it's directly led of the Spirit of God. Everything else laid aside. I'm talking about not even taking an aspirin, not even taking an Advil. You say, Pastor, you've said before it's all right. I'm saying it's all right today if the Lord shows you to do it. Yeah, sometimes I believe you'll show people that. And remember this, your faith is growing. You haven't arrived yet. Is there anybody here has? No, I don't think so. We haven't arrived yet. We're still growing. But as we grow, we can learn that there are ways to manage. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the covenants of the Lord. Exodus 15:26 made this promise way back. Way back. It says, "And if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which were brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals thee." Did you know that's one of his names? Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Raphakah. That's what he just said right there. I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Raphakah. The Lord who heals you. The Lord who brings healing into your life. The Lord your healer. Amen. Well, yeah, he said that, but, you know, he knew that when we got into modern times, we'd have medicine.
Had medicine back then.
Huh?
They had medicine back then.
Had medicine back then. And they probably knew better how to use some of those ancient things than people do today. People nowadays, they get into fads. No, the Lord knew what he was doing. Yeah, they did. There was, I believe that there was medical anointings and things like that. I'm telling you something. If there wasn't some forms of medicine, a lot of Christians wouldn't make it because they quit trusting God a long time ago for their healing. They take diseases. They come down with them.
They embrace them.
Say, come down. We're supposed to rise up, not come down.
Yeah, they embrace
Amen.
It. I have this.
Yeah, that's right.
That.
When they get a chronic affliction, they call it theirs. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard the term my diabetes. If you want it, you can have it. But you don't have to have it.
Amen.
The children's bread, we're talking about that. Jesus tells the woman, "Woman, your faith is great. Your faith is great. You recognize, even though you're not one of the covenant called out people, your faith is great because you recognize that there's quality in that little crumb of bread that's able to bring forth life." Now, I want to tell you something. The woman may have caught something even earlier, because back in Genesis chapter 12, how many know about Genesis 12? One of our favorite Torah portions comes out there. When Abraham was told in the first verse to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go to the land that God would show him, he blesses Abraham, and he says this to him, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee," the third verse, 12:3, "and in thee shall all," say all, "shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So in the blessing that was given to Abraham, it was not limited, was it?
No.
It was given to all. All the families of the earth will be blessed. So when God says, "I am the Lord who healeth thee," yes, he says it in the terms of a covenant with Israel. In Exodus chapter 15. But remember, this covenant comes from the Abrahamic covenant, doesn't it? Sure it does. Because they're Abraham's seed, that's why this has happened. Amen. Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Did you know what that name means? Well, I'm not going to be able to tell you all that it means today, but I'm going to give you some highlights. Grace-giving. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh means grace-giving. It means merciful. It means covenant-keeping. And it means loving. Highlights. Psalm 145, verse 8 and 9, we looked at them last week. The Lord is Yahweh, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to a few. The Lord's good to Jews. The Lord's good to Christians. The Lord is good to all. 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 How about them North Koreans? The Lord's good to them. How about that Ahmadinejad? The Lord is good to him. The Lord is good to all. Lord's good to those political enemies. Lord's good to all. The Lord loves. He is gracious, full of compassion. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, even including dogs. Right? Galatians 3:13 says, Christ. We know that the Hebrew word for that is Messiah, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You know, we were all under a curse. You all read the curse, didn't you? Deuteronomy 28, starting with verse 15, goes right up almost to the end of the chapter. Every bad thing you can think of is cursed. Why? Very clear. Because you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Because you don't pay attention to the words that he gives you. There's a curse. But the Bible says in Galatians 3 that Messiah hath redeemed. Say redeemed. That means something that was his and was stolen away, he purchased back. He redeemed it. That's us. That's about this Syrophoenician Canaanite woman. That's who she was. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? Because he was made a curse for us. He took the curse in his own body. He became cursed for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14, a lot of people miss this. He did all of that the blessing, say the blessing, that the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Abraham, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit through faith. What did God tell Abraham? The blessing of Abraham? In you will all the families, all the nations of the earth be blessed. What do we know about blessing? Let's start with the basics. Is it a plus or a minus? It's a plus. Blessing is good. It's spoken with the mouth. It comes from word. What God's word is his covenant, his bond. The covenants of promise. That the blessing of Abraham, the empowerment to prosper. That's what blessing is. Blessing is empowering to prosper. When God speaks something, it makes it so you can, the words that he spoke to us this morning, prophetically here, were empowering the prosperity of his church. To miss it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Why? Because there's only two things. Say two. Blessing, cursing. There's no in between. You either dwell and abide in the blessing, and that, remember what we said? It doesn't fall on people like cherries falling from a tree. You can't just wait for them to come down. It's true, there is that element of God that's just called pure grace, and all of us have been benefited from that. But there is that area where the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. What do you think about this woman that came to Yeshua? Did she believe that he was? She called him right, didn't she? Ben David. Ben David, son of David. She wasn't just calling him a Jew. She was calling him deeper than that. She was speaking the word. And so then, because of something that God had put in her, she knew that she could claim it, that she could lay hold upon it.
Someday we'll find out what that prequel was.
Yeah, we will. That's right. One day she'll tell us herself. But think about it. Here we've got a bunch of covenant people now, grafted into the commonwealth of Israel with the promise of God that the curse has been taken away. What is the curse? Somebody help me. What's a curse? Three things. Sickness, poverty, and spiritual death. You go back into the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy and read it, and you'll find out that all of those things fall into that category. And yet, the Bible says Yeshua has relieved us from it. He has delivered us from it. He has redeemed us to himself. And all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, to the glory of God the Father. All of these are ours, and yet people are leaving these promises lie idle. In fact, I want to tell you something about healing. It was a promise, but it now is just plain a fact. I believe when we read in 1 Peter 2:24, which says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed, that's telling you it's past tense. You were healed. No longer a promise, it's a fact. So if you were healed and you walk in sickness, what's the problem? Unbelief. You see, I know people close to me. Some of them can teach this. Some of them can tell this. They know how to tell it, but they don't practice this. Some of them have a great way of knowing the layout, but it's up here yet.
The soul man? Is it still the soul?
Yeah.
It's taken over?
They haven't taken it. They haven't held on to it. And so much of the word, that's the problem. You remember Jesus talked about it. He said the sower went forth to sow, and some fell by the wayside. Some fell on the stony ground. Some fell among thorns. Well, see, the scripture indicates that people hear the word, but they don't really know it. They don't really understand it. And the Bible says when they understand it not, then what happens? Then the devil comes. See, if you don't understand it, then the devil comes and takes that seed and takes it from you. And some people, even though they have a mental, they can say the right words, they have missed that last part. That there's an understanding part of that that's more than just understanding the formula. Did you know people always want to put things in formula form? I'm going to tell you something. Some things just don't work just because you got the formula, because there's that catalytic part in there that has to be introduced, and that is that trust, that persistence, that faith, to take it. You say, well, why are you telling us about this? You think we're a bunch of sick people? No, no. I think you're the cream of the crop. But I'm going to tell you something. This is not the case. And in some of you, as the Holy Spirit, remember you've got a spirit on the inside of you, and that spirit is the candle of man that searches all the inward parts of the belly. The Lord may be showing you some things today about how you've grown lax and how you allow things to happen. But I want you to know something. The reason we're getting into this is because there's a great ministry era about to break forth on the earth, and there's going to be healing power manifest like it's never been seen before. Tremendous power. In the book of Acts, there was a lot of people healed. When Yeshua was on the earth, the Bible says that everywhere he went, he did good. The scripture says he went about teaching, preaching, and healing the sick. Three things. Now he said, the works that I do, shall you do also. So what should we be doing? Teaching, preaching, and healing the sick. Now, because we got religious minds, when somebody says teaching, preaching, and healing the sick, we all think we have to be doing it from a pulpit. Doesn't happen that way. Hard to keep me behind the pulpit. Did you notice that? We don't need to be behind the pulpit. We go where people are. People come where we are. We teach. We preach. And we heal the sick. Just as Yeshua did it. Just as he did it. Why? Because we know the covenants of God. Because we believe the covenants. They're not just something that I mentally know. It's not something that I can just mentally write out for somebody and say, do this, and then do this, and do this, and do these steps, and then you'll be made well. No. It's that healing power of God that's working on the inside of each and every one of His believers, because by His stripes you were healed freely. You have received. Now freely give. And this is going to be a period of time in the end of days where there are going to be some tremendous things going on among the church members wherever they are. The body's going to be going out. People are going to be on the job, and some guy's going to do something. Some guy's going to injure himself. And instead of everybody panicking, somebody's just going to walk up and lay their hands on him, and broken bones are going to heal on the spot. I'm telling you, people, we're headed for that day. This is not just something that Pastor Terry dreams about. This is something God says is going to happen. Wave after wave of the glory of God is going to break forth on this earth. People are going to come to us and say, show us the way of your God. Show us, because we see there's power. Because we see there's joy. Because we see the love. Can you see it? Can you see it? And so we need to come to this place where we understand it, where we break forth. This is a renewed covenant that we have with Him. This covenant that we have through Jesus Christ has taken all of the good things that came out of all of the covenants, and every one of those are still, because God's covenant never stopped. They never fail. He'll never end. But all of those things which He has promised have been brought together in Yeshua. Amen. Brought together in Him. And so healing was an expected thing. And then there comes that place where it's not just healing, but it's just the healed state of being. I walk in divine health. I just walk that way. Whenever something starts to attack, I don't start crying. I don't start moaning. I don't get fearful. I just immediately begin. I open my mouth. And it's not to take a pill. It's to speak one. To speak the gospel, to speak the good news, to say what God says. Amen? I open my mouth. Listen, we've been teaching this for years and years and years. Some people could come up here and stand beside me and say what I say, but that doesn't mean they're practicing. Sitting in a certain church doesn't make you a practicer.
As I say, the same holds true when you were saying a curse was spiritual death and sickness and poverty. And as believers, if the church is going to be empowered, it specifically says that Jesus came to be poor in order for us to be rich. And I think so many people don't lay hands on their checkbook and don't say, I'm debt free and all my debt is paid in order to be able to give. And we just need to, like you said, change that mindset from that we walk in divine health, that dis-ease is dis-ease in the body, and God promised us shalom. He promised us his peace. Well, if we're at total peace, then nothing in our body should be causing discomfort or broken.
That's right. Nothing missing. Nothing.
And we shouldn't have to use money for medical bills.
That's right. Amen.
I think that's another reason that her faith was great. She didn't have all the religious hang-ups. She wasn't an Israeli. The other person, one of the other people he said it to, was the Roman centurion.
Yep. Right.
Another person, not
that's
an Israeli.
Right. That's right.
Didn't have the religious hang-ups.
Good.
And maybe she'd seen all the gods that you talked about. And, you know, how was that working for her? Apparently not so much, because she pushed her way into Jesus. You know, and I'm sure it wasn't easy for the Roman centurion to come either. But it was their faith that pushed them forward. The Romans had a lot of gods too. Apparently that wasn't working too good for the centurion either. He saw what Jesus could do. She saw his mercy. She acknowledged him, worshipped him. And Jesus himself said, you know, the kingdom of God is taken by violent men from the time of John up until now. You got to push in and take it. Her persistence and pushing in. And he said, great is your faith. He told the Roman centurion, greater faith I haven't seen in all of Israel. They didn't have the religious hang-ups.
Amen.
And then that's one of the greatest things that holds a lot of us back. Really, well, or the thing of, like you spoke about earlier, well, she's not a Jew.
Yeah.
She's not a Baptist. She's not
one of us.
She's not,
right.
Yeah, she's not one of us. I mean, send her away, you know, kind of thing. And we get all those things caught up in our heads instead of just seeing who he was and the promise that he came to fulfill and bring us.
Amen. That's good. Powerful good. That's really right. That's the key. In fact, you brought up that violent take it by force. Let's get into that. Let's understand that. That's not talking about you being a wild-eyed, violent person that takes up arms in the natural. Not a bit, because our weapons are not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against evil spirits. But let's get violent against those things. Against those things. Because the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. They're mighty. And when we come against the enemy and when he starts to bring his evil maneuvering into our lives, don't sit back. Listen, that's one of the biggest things he wants to get. He wants you to start talking against somebody else. Somebody that's just another man. If he can get you to do that, he's got your attention off of where it should be. But if you'll put your attention where it belongs and use your weapons to vanquish him, the violent will take it by force. Amen? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent will take it by force. The enemy wants to bring all kinds of bad things. That's his job, stealing, killing, and destroying. But Jesus said, I've given you life. And I've given it more of money. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's good. Good word.
There's a place where we become complacent also. It's like the children of Israel, right? Around the desert. God spoke these things.
Yeah.
But because of what you physically are naturally experiencing, you become complacent. You don't really believe them or accept them into mm-hmm. your life. And that is a place that's even in the body. You know, yes, God heals. Yes, God brings prosperity. He brings deliverance. He brings salvation. But we don't see it at that moment, so we become complacent and
right.
we tolerate it.
That's right. And the more you tolerate it, how is that old saying? You give him an inch,
he'll take the mile.
And he'll take the whole kit and caboodle.
That's right.
He will eat your lunch and pop the bag. That's just the way the devil works. He's not in any way a fair opponent. He works in vile ways. So what do we have to do? Stand against him. And having done all to stand therefore. One final scripture I'd like to give you today. But before I do, does anybody else have a comment before we give you this scripture?
I think we need to realize the covenant. That it's his end. He told us, give us this day our daily bread.
Yes.
Now, may we please have some bread, sir. It's give us this
That's
day
right.
our daily bread. That's his part of the deal.
That's right.
You know, promised he would do
it. It's part of the covenant.
It's okay to say, hey,
yep.
Give it to me. It's mine.
I'm believing for your covenant. Right.
Kids don't think twice about going to the fridge and getting something to eat. That's the father's job, you know.
Right.
They just assume that the food is
goal vision.
Give it to us.
Amen. That's good. That's really good. That's good. So how many of you are going to become violent against the enemy and stand firm and not allow any kind of discouragement to keep you from pressing in?
We have the anointing. We have HaMashiach.
Right.
We're smeared.
That's right. We're smeared. That's right. I like that. You did that in that Yiddish style. We're smeared. We're smeared.
Yes.
Yeah, we are. That's what the anointing means. We're smeared with the Holy Ghost. We're covered over with Him. Listen, when the devil looks at you, he doesn't even see you if you know the truth. Unless you give him the hints with your mouth, he'll think you're Jesus.
Exactly.
Because you're covered over in Him. We're hidden in Him. That's what the Bible says. Our lives are hid with God in Christ. Think about that. Now, I want to tell you something. This is revolutionary to religious people. Religious people listen to this and say, well, we live in a real world. I'm telling you what, people, it's time for the Church of Jesus Christ to stand up. Be strong. Be mighty. Walk in the healing power of God. Listen to what Peter discovered. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. There's a Bible way of doing things. A Bible way. The Bible says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. Say all things. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. What tree would that be? That'd be the tree of life, wouldn't it? And the stuff that's on the other tree you didn't want anyhow, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's illegal knowledge. That's natural knowledge. That's flesh knowledge. No, the things that have been given unto us are all things that pertain unto life and godliness, but they're through the knowledge. Say, through the knowledge.
Through the knowledge.
We talked about that a little bit ago in a different way. Knowledge. The Greek has a lot of words for knowledge, but this one is special. It's epigenosko. Epi. Epi means above. And what it talks about is full personal knowledge. It talks about revelation knowledge. Say, revelation knowledge. How did we pray as we started today? We said, Father, give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. I believe the Holy Spirit has been doing that. I believe some of you today are picking up things you've never picked up before, even though you could probably quote every scripture I've quoted. But the Holy Spirit, because of the life that's in Him, He's showing you things about this that are going to change the way you've been living your life. The way you are going to live it in the future. He's going to change the way things are and substitute the way He sees things. Amen? You see, there's those things that are natural. But the Bible says He sees things that we don't see. If He opened our eyes, we would see those things. Father, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. Revelation knowledge, that we see these things not just with a natural mind, not just with a human wisdom, but that they become a part of us. They become a part of us. And it says He gives us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through that kind of full discernment, full knowledge of Him that calleth to glory and virtue. Whereby, say whereby. That means that according to what we've just said, by that, because we have this full discernment and full revelation knowledge, by that we're given exceeding great. How much better than great is exceeding great? I don't know that we can quantify it, but how many of you would agree it's better? Exceeding great's better than just great, right? And precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, where the promises come from? Right out of His covenants. He's a covenant-keeping God. We're laying hold on Him. By these exceeding great and precious promises, we're partakers of what? What?
Divine
nature. You know, this would make somebody that was just a nominal Christmas shudder, Christian shudder. To be a partaker of the divine nature of God? Did God mean that? Have we misunderstood that? Or does he mean just what he's saying there? Is it the same thing Jesus said, the works that I do, shall you do also? The works that I do, shall you do also? Why? Because I go to my Father. And because I go to my Father, I'll send the Holy Spirit and he'll dwell with you forever. And you'll be empowered by him. And the divine nature of God no longer is something that you look at from afar, but it's something that dwells on the inside of you. And the divine nature of God, how does God act? What is he like? You suppose he has some days he wakes up and he's just not feeling good? Well, no, because he never wakes up. Right? Because he never goes to sleep.
I'm right there with him.
Divine nature. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to his power that works in us. That divine nature. We have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Corruption. Sickness. Sickness. Disease. Corruption. All kinds of lustful thoughts. All of those things, we've escaped them because of his exceeding great and precious promises inside of us. Because we lay hold on his word. Because we believe his word. Because we've taken his word. Because we have revelation and we are partakers of his covenant. Say, I'm grafted in. Say, I'm a child of Israel. All of the covenant promises belong to me. I receive them. I'm a partaker. Say, I participate. I partake. What does that mean? It means I take them. I receive them. I have them. They're mine. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of our God. Blessing and glory and honor and praise belong unto you. Father of lights, we give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you that the light of God is opening to us. The understanding of God is opening to us. Full revelation is becoming ours. We are hearing your word and we're being changed. Changed. Changed from day to day, from glory to glory. We're being changed into your likeness and image. Father, I pray that you'll make it clear. Don't let us be content to go back. Don't let us be content to return to those days of the past. But Lord, help us to reach out. And when we see someone that's suffering, someone that's sick, as Kim said last week, this is not only the physical ailments, but those deep mental and those hurts, those things that are binding people. Lord, that we will see the opportunity to reach forth and touch and minister the healing power of God. We believe it, Father. We believe it's ours. We believe it's a fact. Lord, don't let anybody here go back to some experience of the past where they tried something and it didn't work. Lord, we're not out here to try things anymore. We're out here to walk with you and hear with you and see with you, to be led by the Spirit of God. Thank you, Father. We praise you for it. We honor you. We bless you in the name of Yeshua. Ivareka ka Adonai va Yishvareka. Yair Adonai panavaleka vikaneka. Yisa Adonai panavaleka v'yosem lecha shalom. And now Yahweh will bless you and keep you. Will make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Will lift you up in the light of his countenance and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua. And everybody that believed it said, Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen.